keeping you up to date with all the latest SEO and web development news. Little flavor added in. Detroit style. The Trademark Productions weekly podcast radio show coming live from Detroit.
Well, actually, Royal Oak. No one really lives in Detroit anymore.
Cool. It is Friday, and it's the 2nd of February. We just missed Groundhog's Day here.
3rd of February.
Oh, it's the 3rd.
It's the 3rd.
That's right. The 3rd. And Groundhog Day goes yesterday, though, right?
Yes. 6 more weeks of winter.
So he seen his shadow?
He did.
He's seen his shadow, so that means it's a good deal. And for us here in Detroit, it's kind of like it's already happening.
Yeah,
so
it's going to be 48 today.
It doesn't even really matter. So a lot of cool things have been happening this year, and goes back to my whole thing is it's a dog's life, and
yes, it's
a dog's life on the internet. We're going to talk somewhat about the IPO for Facebook and what that means. Mike has some really interesting viewpoints on why it not may be a good thing. But you know, this is something I wanted to cover last week, and I didn't get a chance to. But I thought it was kind of cool, and this might be some good topical points. And then we're also going to talk about Facebook's leaked screenshots of their new photo layout.
I did see that.
It's pretty.
I did see that.
Pretty something interesting.
It's very Google Plus-esque.
Well, and according to their IPO, that's their number one threat.
Google Plus.
Google Plus. So,
which I don't know if I really agree with, but
I don't either, man. You just have the usage.
I think they're two totally different networks, like the way they function. And
people don't use Facebook, or people don't use Google. Google Plus. Google's always been a search engine, first and foremost. Mm-hmm. And Facebook's always been a social network, first and foremost.
Exactly.
So it's like Facebook coming out with a search engine.
Yeah.
So, but anyways, basically, if for the past decade, anybody in our industry has spent a ton of money and time and research and investments in web design, SEO, link building, now social media the past couple of years. Analytics has always been a big thing. And basically, the SEO landscape's really changing at an alarming pace. So
it's hard to keep up sometimes.
What type of investments should you make in 2012 to keep ahead of the crowd? And there was a list that was published, and this was by SEO 2.0. And it was basically 40 cutting-edge social media and services to invest in now. And I don't know if I agree with all of them, but let's go through the list.
All right.
Online reputation management is the first one, is what they're suggesting.
And it's awfully topical.
It's awfully topical. And we should talk a little bit about the Dave Bing post.
I think we should.
About the Twitter steal that we did. But, you know, I don't even know the fool's name.
Jeff Watrick, I believe, is his name.
Jeff Watrick, the highly successful, largely sought after freelance blogger.
Yes.
And he happens to publish some stuff to MLive. And he's sitting somewhere right now, probably on a couch with a laptop on his lap.
Listening to this, we hope.
Well, but anyways, Jeff, I was humbled by your highly sought after post on MLive and all of the comments and responses that happened on it as well, equaling zero. But for your information, did we get a lot of business out of it directly related to it? No, not at all. That was not the whole point of it. Secondly, is you completely missed the fact that the Free Press and other journalists are horrible at fact-checking still to this day. And that's mm-hmm. really the historical life and death of any journalist, is to make sure that they have their facts checked. And there's been losses. There's been tons of damages awarded to people for not doing that because it becomes slander.
Exactly.
So that was another point that you totally did miss on that deal, because the Free Press highlighted us as Dave Bing in a Sunday edition newspaper back in May of 2009 about politicians utilizing social media. I guess if we duped everybody, I guess we did a pretty good damn job. Or people just assumed that because somebody says who they were back in those times, because they didn't have verification either at that time, Jeff.
Yes.
basically the governor, other governors, politicians, attorney generals, celebrities, people in sports communicating back and forth with our Twitter account, thinking that we were them. And so, again, I guess historically you could probably go out there and find some references to it and maybe even the actual Twitter feeds of everything that was posted. It was nothing but wonderful stuff and positive things about Detroit and everything that Dave's done in the past and what he had set out in as far as his promises and the journey he had laid out ahead of him for revitalizing Detroit. And, you know, he's done a hell of a job in his term thus far, and he's had nothing but a tough job to deal with.
I would agree.
So, you know, I think it's one thing to sit on the couch and to, passively watch TV and blog about things throughout your day, but I guess get down into the nitty-gritty of it and really get into something full-time and see how that works before you make comments like that. And I appreciate also the Don Draper reference.
Yes.
I thought that was very nice.
One of the things that I noticed when I wrote the blog post about last week's podcast was that currently Mayor Dave Bing, like at Mayor Dave Bing, doesn't even have 10,000 followers. And he's had that account now for almost two years. And in the matter of 5 months, we were able to gather him over 10,000, so he doesn't have the reach that he had, that he could have had before when we offered to relinquish the account.
You know, I think that has to do with a number of different things, and, you know, a big one that could be part of it is the fact that not many people are using Twitter anymore. I mean, probably less than a third of tweets that go out are actual real communications. It's not just broadcast spam garbage through automation.
Yeah.
So, whatever. But, hey, Jeff, thanks very much for covering that, man, and giving us a big fat backlink. I appreciate that as well. Like those authority links. Even though there are no follow, which you may or may not know anything about what that means, but it still gives me some good street cred. So, thanks. So let's go back to our list. Mobile SEO, huge. I think that's a big, big deal. But along with that, mobile web design and mobile analytics. I think you need to know how many people are visiting your site from a smartphone and what operating systems they're on and what are the challenges your website's presenting to the end user for use of your site and your services and your products, for a user twiddling with their thumb, driving down the road with a cigarette in their hand, a cup of coffee, window down, and the TV and the radio's on, and they're trying to do this going, you know, streaming down the freeway at 75 miles per hour.
I've never done that, for the record.
Nobody has, but I've heard things like that happen, and you need to make sure that people can access your site that way as well. Citation building. I think that's another good component to SEO as well, and there's citations you can get all over the place. It's really just like anything else. Produce content. Produce good content. Have references back to your name, to your services, to your product, to your company, and those are going to help out as long as you're publishing those. Google Places. And profile optimization, I think that's probably very warranted as well. Since everything is going larger, Google's privacy policy, streamlining and flattening throughout the site, that's going to be very important to make sure that your profile is optimized, your profile is updated, it's managed, it's full, and it's complete.
And I think that's huge for small local businesses especially, because a lot of people go for reviews to Google Places, and if you're not on there or you're, you know, incorrect, you have incorrect information, you might not, you might lose a potential customer.
Yeah, I agree with that. Now, number 9, 10, 11, and 12, social media optimization, participation, monitoring, and analytics. I think that's huge. You have to be in it to win it, and now that there's so much of an influence of social and search, it's extremely important that you you participate in something like that. So you need to get together some type of a social media plan, and you need to execute it. You need to monitor it. Even with us, a large amount of our traffic does come in organically, and a large amount of our traffic comes in, probably second and third, is going to be through content publishing of components like our podcasts and our blogs, but mobile. And it's from mobile social networks. So posting on Facebook, being active in Google Plus and groups, those do converge and bring people over to you. Because, again, when they hear you speaking out there and producing things like this, they automatically think that you're authority and that you know a little bit about what you're talking about. So that's the whole thing of viewing people from afar and then approaching. once you've sized them up and qualified them. And that's what people are doing. It's just human nature. So we have to play off of those points. We'll just hit a couple more of these here, and let me just read out a couple of them. But I think they're pretty cool, too. I was very surprised that video was not noted until number 19. But blogger outreach, influencer marketing, social media press releases, word-of-mouth marketing, viral marketing, infographic creation, and then finally video at 19 with SEO and then YouTube channel management. And then you got to 22 and 23, Facebook optimization and page creation. And then Google Plus at 24. Twitter ghostwriting. I don't even know what the hell that is.
Twitter ghostwriting, I would assume, would be operating other Twitter accounts, like having your company write, you know, create another account that is like
bullshit.
Yeah, exactly. Bullshit.
So it's a top 40 list of SEO components for 2012. Some of them I agree with, some of them I don't, because you have shopping cart optimization number 39. 38 is e-commerce SEO, and there's a shitload of people out there that live and breathe and die by the sword with their shopping cart and their products being sold and marketed. And if you're doing something like that, and you have products that are out there, and they're very, very consumer-friendly, and they're actually kind of cool and sexy, there's fab.com, which is a new social sharing site that I suggest you really look into, and then also Pinterest. That is a huge way to gain and I guess yearn a new audience over to your sites now.
Pinterest is just picking up. There was an article in Mashable a few days ago. Pinterest is actually getting more hits online than Google Plus.
Really?
Yeah.
Which must be all the people connecting. A lot of people are getting the invites. They're doing it a very creative way. You can't just sign up for an account. You have to wait for an invite. And then when you get in there, you have the ability also to, which I think there's a pro and a con to it right now, but as an SEO and having a little bit of black and gray in my hair, there's very quick ways to follow a group of other people's followers.
Mm-hmm.
Very, very fast. So if you're going to get some social spread, even for a listening component of what other people are looking at, I've noticed a lot of very, very reputable peers of mine are jumping on that. And people that could give two shits about doing stuff like this, except for the fact of harnessing data and having exposure to further products. So I've even seen people displaying all of their infographics inside of here, which is kind of cool. Mm-hmm. I'm also seeing some people display different types of articles or statements to link back to other articles. So it's definitely going to be a traffic grabber right now for the time being. So that's that list, and I think I do agree with a couple different components. I'm speaking in a week in Hawaii on online reputation management from a black hat standpoint of view. So I agree with that because reputation management has to do for a company. It has to do for your products, for your employees, for individuals, and there's a lot of ways to do that. Hence my reputation being tarnished maybe or maybe not a little bit this past week with responses to our Dave Bing Twitter scandal.
If anyone read it.
Correct. So we found it, though.
Yeah.
And he was at least, writing about something, speaking out to somebody somewhere. And they only publish a ton of that shit and hire these freelancers because it's all about ad revenue. Mm-hmm. So what type of topics do we put stuff out in there that end up getting picked up, that get views, that then turn around and have the CPMs make us money?
Yeah.
It's the whole AOL Huffington Post scandal that has been unleashed. People have known about for years, but now finally there's been light put to it at a consumer level. So it's a lot of bullshit. You just got to produce a ton of shit content based off of trends and keyword searches, and the mayor of Detroit is very trendy, so that's a raise some eyebrows, and that ups the CPMs, which then brings them revenue.
Well, and I mean, I have friends who work for MLive, and they say that they're being pushed to get content on there all the time.
Oh, hell yeah. You just got to write about shit.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. You got to produce content. You guys have probably noticed that my speaking is horrible on Fridays, just after a long week. But yeah, you have to produce content in order to. I got to clear my throat. You have to produce content in order to attract the search engines to help build your authority. So that's the whole entire gameplay. But the advertisers like that. A lot of remnant advertising and bullshit crap advertising. And the big buys like the insurances and the automobiles and other large purchasers of remnant advertising that are out there. And they'll pay for it, and MLive makes revenue from shit like that.
Yes, so they do.
That's why they push all these freelancers, even if they are producing garbage shit. And they're asshole pricks.
Not doing their job as a fact checker.
Well, I guess if you're a blogger on a semi-popular newspaper site online, are you considered a journalist?
Well, I mean, to some degree. I think if I, you know, were to be writing that story, let's say I were to come across it, find it interesting, I would have done everything I could to contact us, you know, and be like, hey, what's the deal? Because then you can write, this is what they said, but this is what I think.
Yeah, what was the comment?
You know?
It was completely one-sided from his standpoint of view, very snidey.
It was snidey.
Snidey and snippy and snooty. He's definitely got some anger and resentment built up inside. And maybe it's because he's a freelancer.
It's possible.
So, been there, done that, dude. I know how it feels. Don't worry. Eventually, you'll get a staff job somewhere and make some halfway decent money. But until then, keep plugging away and producing shit content for the people that'll buy it. So, anyways, let's move on here.
Facebook.
IPO. Talk about the IPO, man, and what your thoughts are, because I think your points are very, very interesting.
Well, I think the IPO is interesting. It's $5 billion IPO, and Michael Wolff from The Guardian in the UK made an excellent point. He was saying that he doesn't know if Facebook is ready for the public eye, or prime time, if you will. Facebook, you know, until now has been a pretty secretive company when it comes to how they do things and what the privacy policies are and what data they're mining from users and stuff like that. But now that they're going public, a lot of that's going to have to be more transparent.
Shitloads of data mining.
Yeah, and I honestly don't know if Zuckerberg and co. are ready for this public scrutiny, because their privacy policies are changing, what, every 6 to 8 months, it seems. They're updating massive changes to profiles and what we're going to talk about, the photo settings, you know, all the time. And I think a lot of that angers users because they like things to maintain and stay the same. And it's going to be interesting to see how they handle it, because I don't think they're ready. I think they rushed into it a little bit.
I'm pretty confident that's the reason we've seen the updates to the privacy policy over the past week with Google on a blanket share. Obviously, people are doing things to combat each other, these large companies. Another thing we have to remember is Zuckerberg is the founder and creator of Facebook, and he is the CEO, is he? Mm-hmm. But he's merely that. He's a visionary. He's an innovator. And he doesn't do all the other crap.
Not anymore,
He's
no.
being led by, you know, people that work for his company that are making very, very strong decisions. And, you know, it might be time for him to, I guess he probably has the visual connection with younger people to help build up that trust and that connection with that age group. And with investors now, there's a lot of younger people that have grown up over the past 10 years that are actually have some money and can invest in things like that. So that might be some of the transcending appeal. But there's probably a lot of things he's not really good at. So that's going to be an interesting component.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued to see what happens with privacy policy and data mining specifically. Because, I mean, they take a ton of data from us.
Yeah.
You know, and I know on my Facebook, I use Google Chrome, so I have ad blocker on, you know, an extension. I don't see any Facebook ads.
None at all?
No.
Really?
Yeah, it's pretty much amazing. It makes Facebook a heck of a lot easier to use. Or just more visually pleasing to use, I should say.
Sure, sure.
But, I mean, that's where almost all their revenue comes from, except for the 12% Zynga brings in, which I thought was crazy. Words with friends, man.
Brings a lot of people back to the site.
That's crazy.
Well, here's an interesting article that was leaked out yesterday, and there is a blog called Faceblog. And they basically sent out an alert and got a screenshot of Zuckerberg's desktop. But one of the new things that they're working on, and I think this is going to be kind of an interesting, probably has some humor to it, but yet annoying public and private fight that'll be keep getting outed between Google and Facebook, trying to mimic each other's services to become the leader in one or the other. And they've come out with a new photo layout, and it's eerily similar to Google Plus.
It's it looks damn near identical on first glance.
Yeah, it pretty much is. And what was interesting to this, too, which Google doesn't do right now, but it looks like that they are going to be embedding advertisements in the photo viewer and expanding the ways in which these ads can be delivered. So, again, now prying eyes and just mucking up the entire space. And I wonder if that's the case in doing stuff like that. How is this arbitrarily to different or going to be to Google recently doing the Ben Cook, who used to be with what's the huge internet monster commerce, and it's now called Network Solutions. Sorry, okay. Ben Cook. Sorry,
there we go.
Big SEO. He's on his own now, but hell of a cool dude. And he named it something. I forget what it was called. It was fucking hilarious. But anyways, this update for Google with the ad update, where they're basically penalizing for too many ads above the fold.
Yeah.
I wonder what we're going to do now, too, with something like this for the viewers. And if Google will start pushing ads, because some of the screenshots that they're showing of this, not sure if it's a default feature yet, but the ads that are going to be going inside of the photo streams is pretty interesting. So I would have to tend to think, as an advertiser for our clients and myself, that may be a very, very popular place where I may want to place my ads, because a lot of people just sit there and thumb through pictures.
Oh, yeah.
And if I have the ability to put together some awesome creative and display it inside of the photo viewer, and I'm singled out there myself, I have some very, very great chance for click-through.
Yeah.
But also, if I'm buying on a CPM model, because they're going to even out either the CPM to the click-through ratio for the costs, you know, you're going to get a lot of hell of a lot of impressions. So I'm wondering what the what costs and availabilities would be, something like that. Not to mention, what the hell are the images that I can, or categories of images that I would have a selection as an advertiser to aggregate? Is it based off of keywords associated with caption or a file name? How are they aggregating those into different categories? Because that's always the issue, too, is putting your ads out there through networks like that, even at a CPM level for images, knowing that there's a good chance for a targeted association for that vertical of to what I'm trying to sell or push.
One of the things I've noticed on Facebook is that a lot of people don't actually put captions on the photos.
Right.
You know, and a lot of people use, I mean, they don't change their file name. They just pull it from whatever it is from the camera. So it's 110509.
DSCO8952.jpg.
So I'm curious how that's going to work, or if it's going to be based off of, if it's going to be ads, because they're all rooted in your profile. So if they're just going to be taking ads and placing them there that are related to you specifically, like they do already on your homepage.
I don't know. It's going to be interesting, because it's definitely going to be a revenue stream or a revenue vertical that people are going to want to throw cash into. But I would only want to do the ones where I know exactly the types of image it is, because the Chinese woman married to a American man living in the hills of Oregon who just posted pictures about their trip to Samoa, I could give two shits about.
Yeah.
I don't want my ads there.
Exactly.
Quite frankly. Or if someone, even one of our like vitamin customers, I'm not going to put any of that crap there.
No.
So I want it to be in relevant parts. Now, if it was about an entire college sports game, I definitely want my shit there. So, with that being said, kind of a cool, fun week, and
it's only going to get bigger and better.
Only going to get cooler. So, we'll talk to you guys next week. Thanks for tuning in.
Thank you for listening to Trademark Productions' weekly podcast radio show. Remember to submit your questions online at tmprod.com and subscribe to our newsletter and on iTunes. No copying of this can be reproduced without permission. Terms apply. Copyright TM Productions 2011. All rights reserved.